feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Today, we begin our final study in the book of Judges. This has been a wonderful time of exciting and true stories. And as we have learned, these stories illustrate spiritual truths and have direct application to our lives today. Unfortunately, the book ends on a down note. In these last chapters, we see a culture where everyone did right in his own eyes. This led to terrible immorality and perversion. Even if we don't necessarily like to read these types of stories, they have important application for us. As we begin our teaching today, Pastor John will recount for us the prior two chapters because they relate to the situation in Judges chapter 21, our final chapter. Here now is Pastor John.
Judges chapter 21 for our study this evening. In our last session, studying through chapters 19 and 20, we saw the horrible moral condition of the Israelite nation. Every man, as we read, was doing what was right in his own sight, determining their own value system, deciding what they would do, not submitting to the Lord, but rather doing their own thing. And it led to despicable, horrible situations morally in the nation. And the story last time depicted that fact dramatically. There was a Levite, a guy that was in the ministry, if you would, serving in the tabernacle, or he ought to have been. But he took a mistress, a concubine. And after living with her for some time, she ran away and she went back into whoredom or prostitution. He missed her. Some months later, he left his house to go and find her. He tracked her down, and she, while she was practicing her harlotry, was living in her father's house. So he spoke to her and spoke to her father as well, and was determined to bring her back again with him. And of course, the father was agreeable to that fact, and he takes this concubine, this mistress, if you would, and he makes his way back to his home again. Well, it was late in the day when he started on his journey back to his home, and so there in a town called Gibeah, in the tribe of Benjamin's area there in Israel, he stopped to find lodging. There was a man that agreed to take him in. But as they went in the home to spend the night in that man's house, keep in mind there was no Motel 6s or Comfort Inns or what have you, and as this guy and his concubine go inside, the homosexual men in the community began to beat on the door and demand that this Levite, who was new in that area, be brought out that they might sexually know him. Well, the horrid story continues on, as we saw in our study last time. The owner of the house would not violate Eastern hospitality in putting the guy outside and letting those homosexuals do what they wanted to with that guy. So instead, he offered to put out his daughter and the concubine and throw those gals out to these mad men that were outside. And eventually, when the negotiating was going on, the Levite himself grabbed his concubine and threw her outside, where she was abused, raped all night long. At the break of day, he wakes up. He was able to sleep through the night. That shows you how despicable and horrible the people had become morally. He went to sleep while his concubine was being gang-raped brutally, and as he awakes, he sees his concubine there at the threshold of the door. She had crawled to the door, having been abused and beaten badly, and there she died. What he did next was he took her body, he chopped it up into 12 parts. He sent out one part to each of the 12 tribes of Israel. He did so to rally them to his cause, to say in this very vivid telegram of body parts, "Hey, I've been wronged. My concubine was raped and abused and murdered by the men of Gibeah." And so we read that 400,000 men of Israel, receiving these brutal, gory, garish telegrams, a part of a body, said, "What's going on here?" And they gathered at Mitzpah, 400,000. "What's the deal?" And the Levite tells the sordid tale. He gave the story of what happened, that he stopped at Gibeah, this town in the tribe of Benjamin, and what happened to his concubine. And these men said, "We're going to war because of this terrorist act, because of this butchery, because of the bloodshed of this concubine by these men of Benjamin." Well, you know, if you were here, what happened then. They took their swords. They were ready to go to war against the men of Gibeah. But the tribe of Benjamin, the whole surrounding group of people, said, "No, we're not going to release these men of Gibeah. We're not going to release them." Therefore, the 400,000 men of Israel found themselves at war against the tribe of Benjamin. And ultimately, they were victorious. There was a couple of setbacks. We made application to that fact. But ultimately, the 400,000 men of Israel wiped out not only the men of Gibeah, where the rape and murder took place, but they continued in their frenzy to kill every single person, man, woman, and child, who was of the tribe of Benjamin. Now keep in mind, when I say of the tribe of Benjamin, Israel, the nation, had 12 tribes. It would be like our 50 states. It would be like if the men of Oregon wiped out everybody in California. You see, it's that kind of a deal, really. The men of Benjamin were totally wiped out. The women and the children obliterated in this frenzy because of the war that got out of control, quite frankly. 600 men, though, escaped. 600 men from Benjamin escaped to a rock fortress, and they were hiding there. 600 men survived. The rest of the tribe wiped out in totality. We read in verse 47 of chapter 20, "But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness unto the rock Rimmon, and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months." It was a fortress in the rock. And these guys, these 600 Benjamites, went up to the fortress, and they were hiding there, or they were ensconced in the fortress. The men of Israel turned again, verse 48, upon the rest of the Benjamites and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well the men of every city as the beast and all that came to hand. Everybody and everything was wiped out, except for these 600 men that were holed up, that were hidden away, that were ensconced in the fortress of Rimmon. Then they set fire on all the cities too. So Benjamin was destroyed, except their 600 men of Benjamin who have survived. And now the plot thickens. Verse 1, "The men of Israel had sworn in Mitzpah when they gathered together." The 400,000 men of Israel, when they gathered together to hear of this horrific act that took place, they swore, they took an oath, saying, There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife. I hope none of you say that. I've got a son named Benjamin, in case you're wondering. But they said, none of us is going to give our daughters to Benjamin to wife, you see. Now, listen carefully. They made this vow, it says. They swore. That means they made a vow or took an oath. You know, the Bible warns us about doing this. The Bible warns us about taking vows or making oaths. Taking vows and making oaths is really, most of the time, very foolish and just plain old downright dumb. Because people have all these intentions and they make these vows and promises only to find that ultimately they have to renege. They can't follow through, you see. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. I think of Jephthah in our earlier story in the book of Judges. Lord, if you give me a victory in this battle, the first thing that walks out of my house, I'll sacrifice to you. He was sure that it would be a cow or a sheep or what have you, a goat maybe. But much to his shock and chagrin, when he had victory in the battle and he returned home again, out of his house came not a cow or a goat or a lamb, but his daughter. And Jephthah realized, oh no, what have I done? I made this vow, this oath. Or I think of Saul. Remember when Saul was fighting the Philistines? And the Philistines were on the run. And Saul said, I take an oath, I take a vow this day that if any man eats anything until all the Philistines in this battle are destroyed, that man must be put to death. What a stupid thing to say. He takes this vow, he makes this oath. And of course, Jonathan, remember the story, his son. Jonathan didn't hear this ridiculous vow that his dad had taken. And Jonathan is chasing the Philistines bravely. And Jonathan was the key to the victory in the battle, quite frankly. But Jonathan gets hungry and he sees some honey there. And he grabs some honey and he puts it to his lips that he might keep going and pursuing the Philistines. And then it was told to Saul, your son Jonathan took honey. And Saul said, then let him die. And Saul would have killed Jonathan right there, but the people rose up and prevented Saul from doing so. You know, in the heat of battle, when we feel embattled, whether internally or externally, outwardly, we can sometimes be vulnerable to making dumb vows. Lord, if you just, or Lord, I promise that, or Lord, I'll never. But the Bible says, in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. And taking a vow so often implies, I can pull this out. I'm going to see this through. And it's really, for the most part, a very foolish thing to do, to make these oaths, to take these vows. And this is one of those times again, as are so often seen in the scriptures, all these guys said, hey, none of us will ever give our daughters to be married to any of the men of Benjamin. But now that the battle was over, and Benjamin was wiped out, except there's 600 men, they have a change of heart. Oh no, we made this vow. And they came, verse 2, the people of Israel, to the house of God, and abode there until evening time, and lifted up their voices, and they wept sorely or loudly, and said, oh Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? Oh God, why is this? How could it be that one whole tribe is going to be obliterated, lost, wiped out? Why? 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 I mean, here you see, this is amazing because Benjamin, the tribe they're talking about, was rebellious and immoral. The men of Gibeah, homosexuals and murderers, and the other Benjamites protecting them, not dealing with them as they ought to. Benjamin was rebellious. And then the people of Israel, the rest of the tribes, were overreacting by destroying the whole tribe. It's rebellion, overreaction, and guess who gets blamed? God. Man, doesn't this tell it like it is? You know, people sin, we get involved in rebellion, we do things in our flesh in overreactions, and then we say, why, God? Why is this? Why are you allowing this to happen? Where were you? Why don't you? How could you? And they're crying to the Lord. In reality, God didn't say destroy the tribe of Benjamin. God didn't say destroy their cities and every person therein. They were the ones that did this in the heat of their temper, you see. Crazy. They were the ones that made this vow about not giving any of their daughters now to be married to the 600 guys that still survived. But God, why is this, Lord? Oh, God, why has this come to pass? Well, because you're a bunch of idiots. That's why. That's why. You know, this is a good answer to give for you that are involved in counseling or ministry. Because people will come to you constantly and say, well, why? How come? Just say, because you're an idiot. That's a good thing to say. Really, John? Yes. Because it's true. I mean, it's really true. We're all a bunch of idiots. We sin, we rebel, we overreact, we don't pray, we get mad, we do our own thing. Oh, my God. Hey, I'm going to train you all in effective counseling right now. When somebody comes your way and is sniveling and saying, why? Just say, because you're an idiot. Good answer. Counseling 101. You see, don't blame God. Don't blame God for anything. Righteous and true are your judgments, O Lord. Don't let people blame God. Don't blame God yourself. You know, God is nothing but plain old downright flat out good. Truly, Psalm 73 says, God is good. Why is this happening? Hey, listen, you deserve a lot worse. I deserve a lot worse. Whatever has come down, whatever has gone on, we have been so blessed. God has been so gracious and kind and merciful. And we have a bunch of baby boom snivelers in our generation, quite frankly. Well, because you rebelled and because you went off and made this crazy vow. Don't blame God, you see. Now, I'm not really saying to tell a person that they're an idiot. But I am saying there is a time in love, truly, to say, I love God more than even I love you. And God is good, and what he decides is righteous and true. Don't blame him, see. But they were, why, God, why is this? You know, it came to pass on the morrow that they rose up early, verse 4, they built an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Well, that's a good thing to do, truly. Here they are, they're before the Lord, they're crying, why did you allow this? How could this be? And they offer their sacrifices and they offer worship to the Lord. But even though they offer worship to the Lord, they do not wait on the Lord. They immediately launch their plan. Why? Because the theme of Judges is every man is doing what's what? Right in his own sight. So it's good they're offering worship to the Lord, but they fail to wait on the Lord. So after they ask, why did this happen and what's going on? Immediately the next day, after doing what was good, offering sacrifices, they proceed to do what was their tendency, and they went ahead with their own rational plan, as we shall see. Here was their plan, verse 5. It's amazing. Who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath, again, another oath, concerning him that came not up to the Lord to mitzvah, when they all gathered, the 400,000 men. When they called all the tribes, they made this oath, whoever doesn't come, he shall surely be put to death. And the children of Israel, verse 6, repented them. They're feeling bad for Benjamin, the tribe that was wiped out. Only 600 guys are left. And they said, there is a tribe cut off from Israel to this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing that we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to be their wives? So here's their plan, as we shall see. It's amazing. Who didn't come when we congregated and convocated at mitzvah? When we got ready to go to war against Benjamin, who didn't come? Because we took an oath then too, they're saying. If any tribe or group doesn't join us, if any group doesn't come and be a part of our coalition, that group is to die, you see. So they said, verse 8, what one is there of the tribes that came not to mitzvah? And behold, they found out, after inquiring amongst themselves, that none came from Jabesh-Gilead, the town of Jabesh-Gilead, to join this coalition. For the people, verse 9, were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there. Hey, did you see anybody from Jabesh-Gilead? No. Did you? Nobody from Jabesh-Gilead, a town, a community of Israel. Nobody came. And we took an oath that if they don't come, if anyone fails to show up, that they, that community, are to be dealt with by death, you see. So the congregation sent 12,000 men, verse 10, their valiantest, and commanded them, saying, go and smite the men of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain with a man, or every non-virgin. They found, verse 12, among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead, 400 young virgins that had not known a man by lying with any male. And they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Verse 13, so now they speak to the men of Benjamin that were in the rock fortress Rimmon, and they called peaceably unto them. Hey guys, we're not here to harm you. Benjamin came again, came out of their fortress, and they gave them wives which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead. So here's their plan. What are we going to do for the 600 guys? We feel bad that the whole tribe is being wiped out. We don't want that to happen after they had already destroyed pretty much the whole tribe in totality. I got it. If anybody didn't join us in the battle, like we said in the oath there that day, we'll destroy that city, but we'll save the virgins, the young gals that have not known a man sexually. And we'll take those virgins and we'll give them to the 600 guys from Benjamin that are hiding away in the fortress city. So with these 12,000 soldiers, they destroy everybody in Jabesh-Gilead. I mean, this is carnage. This is crazy. But that's what happens when everybody does what's right in their own sight. I mean, they're going from bad to worse to worser, if you would. Destroyed everybody in Jabesh-Gilead. They didn't say, maybe nobody's here from Jabesh-Gilead, nobody came, because maybe they didn't get the message. Let's ask them. No inquiry, no discussion, no questions. Oh, this is great, we'll just kill everybody, take their virgins, and give those virgins to the guys that are still alive from the tribe of Benjamin.
This whole situation is absurd, and it just keeps getting stranger. That is what happens when we don't wait upon the Lord, when we do things that seem right in our own sight. Well, Pastor John will finish this story and the book of Judges on our next program. Please join us then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
The Apostle Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you would like to increase your faith and hear more of the Word of God, you may wish to consider Pastor John's complete set of Through the Bible teachings. This set contains over 1,200 teachings from Genesis to Revelation in MP3 audio format. These MP3 formatted teachings can be used with most mobile phones, computers, tablets, or other mobile devices. You may order Pastor John's Through the Bible MP3 audio set from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.